Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalms 26 and 7. Psalm 26, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God, a psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations I will bless the Lord. Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O heaven, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so in Psalm 26, we begin, David, the psalmist, begins by speaking of his confidence and assurance before the Lord. His confidence and assurance before the Lord. We have a chapter in our Confession of Faith on assurance of faith. Most of you know that, especially as this is drawn out a little bit more closely in the larger catechism as well as the Confession, that our Reforming fathers believed that assurance of faith was not of the essence of saving faith. And that's just a simple way to say that there are people that possess saving faith that aren't particularly assured of it. But notice that David here has a particular assurance, and that assurance is not impossible to the believer. In fact, we are told in Scripture that, well, especially in the book of 1 John, that there is a way to know. The confession tells us also that we ought to labor for such an assurance. The difficulty that we have when we think about these things is that there is an assurance that is not a godly assurance at all. Truly, that is more like presumption than assurance. And so, when we look at what David speaks about here in his assurance, notice what we see. He says, I've walked in my integrity, I've trusted in the Lord. And then he submits his life to the Lord for the Lord's examination. Now, this is not because the Lord doesn't know. The Lord knows very clearly. He knows David better than David knows himself, which is truly the source of this request that David brings forth here. What he's asking the Lord to do is not to examine him so that the Lord would know. He's asking, examine me so that I might know. The Lord is not going to increase in knowledge through some investigation. This is David submitting himself to the Lord in self-examination and asking the Lord to guide those examinations. So, notice what also he says, thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. Well, see, that's the heart of an assured saint. He's coming before the Lord not because he sees himself worthy in any sense, but because God is gracious, merciful. This is that Hebrew word chesed. God is faithful to his covenant, to all of his covenant promises in Christ, which are yea and amen to such as call upon his name in sincerity. So he says, examine me, prove me, for because thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Now, notice David's use of means here. The difficulty we have with assurance in our day is that we seek assurance without the means to assurance. Notice David's means that he uses to assurance. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. The word dissembler is an old English word that means pretenders or hypocrites. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. Notice that David has been very, very discriminating in his company, especially his company as it concerns religious company, that he has walked in the truth of God. And so, what has he done? Well, he says, I will walk in thy truth. I will not slide from thee. I will trust in thee. I will be mindful of thy loving kindness. And I will not sit with vain persons, run with pretenders. I hate the congregation of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. These are the means to the kind of assurance that we seek. The difficulty is that often we seek the assurance without the means toward assurance. All right, so then we go down to verse 6, and he says, I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Or in this way, how will David approach the Lord? He will approach him by washing his hands in innocency. Now remember that the second piece of furniture in the tabernacle complex and then later in the temple complex, the second piece of furniture was the laver. That the priest, when he came in, that before he approached the holy place, that he would wash his hands at the laver. Right? And David alludes to that here. But notice the substance in which he washes his hands. In innocency. Not obviously in absolute innocency. But he is keeping a very close eye upon his conscience at all times. That it is David's bent not to sin overtly against the Lord. And when he sees something evil, to avoid it. And when he sees something good, to run in that. And it is in that way that he will compass the altar of the Lord. These are the the building blocks of assurance. Right? And so notice that this is the entire opposite of some kind of sacerdotal thing. This is heart religion. That David is speaking about keeping a close eye upon his inward and outward behavior. Keeping a close eye upon his conscience and not violating it. In remaining as far as he is able, a particular innocence before the Lord. Not running into sin. These are the building blocks of assurance. All right, and then also notice that David is very, very clear here that all of this is according to the grace of God. That while he is behaving himself in that innocent manner, and it is in that way that he approaches the Lord, that his approach to the Lord is according to the Lord's loving kindness at all times, and not according to David's works. All right, so as for me, I will walk in mine integrity, redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place, in the congregations will I bless the Lord. And so David is very clear here of the usefulness of the public ordinances of worship. All right, so Psalm 27, also a psalm of David. And here we have several things that David says about the Lord. He's my light and my salvation. He's the strength of my life. And then because of that, David will not fear the enemy of his soul, even though he camps about him, even though he threatens to eat up his flesh. Instead, they stumbled and fell. Now notice this in verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Notice David's singular focus here. One thing have I desired. One thing will I seek. And what is that? That I will do everything within my power and purview to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That I will do nothing that would endanger my standing in the house of the Lord. That I will do everything within my own power, using the means at my disposal, to reserve that place for me in the house of the Lord. So, when he says, in the house of the Lord there, that is not simply the physical temple that stands in David's day, or that tabernacle complex. The temple wasn't built until after his life. But the house, the polity, the society, the covenant community, the house over which Jesus Christ reigns as King, as Lord, that house. And so David declares a sweet declaration to be near the Lord, to be near him all the days of his life, to dwell in his house. And then he goes on to inquire in his temple. So notice the close communication here, the close communion between the house of the Lord and the public ordinances of worship. And let's remember who David was. David was the 10th son of Perez. We've heard that before, so we know what that means, right? That a child that was illegitimate was not permitted to come into the worshiping assembly unto 10 generations. Just go to the genealogy and count them. David was the 10th. David was the one who not only provided for all of the plans to build the temple, not only set up and brought the Ark of God into Jerusalem and set it up in its own complex in Jerusalem, but he was the first in his line from his great-great-great-so-on granddaddy, Perez, to be able to draw near to the Lord in that way. Why was it so precious to David? Well, this helps to answer that question. All right, so then David says, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tent, tabernacle, shall he hide me. He will set me upon a rock." And so let us never dwell in the tents of the wicked, but always in the tabernacle of the Lord, to love and to cherish, to respect and to reverence, and to count it a grand privilege to be called into the very presence of God as he meets with his people. Let us not count all days alike, but let us draw near as a congregation of saints to him, Lord's Day by Lord's Day. Verses 7 through 10 then, the king relates his eagerness to seek the face of God. That is, his desire for the fellowship, the companionship, the covenantal relationship with God, where God speaks and we hear. "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Let me ask you, this is not a question for you to answer out loud. What does your heart say? When the Lord said, "Seek ye my face," does your heart leap into that declaration, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek"? What is the declaration of our own hearts? And then verses 11 through 14, the end of the psalm, it closes with encouragement to wait upon the Lord. And of course, waiting means what? A confident service, right? A confident service upon the Lord. A patient and confident service toward the Lord. I think many times folks that are in churches, well, they bug out. They bug out because they didn't get what they were looking for. They were not content in that patient, servile waiting upon the Lord, obeying Him, calling upon Him, serving Him where they have opportunity. There wasn't a particular waiting there. It wasn't, oh, perhaps there was service, but it was always with an eye to something else. David here says, "Wait upon the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Well, thus ends the reading of Psalms 26 and 7. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.